So, any other reports from the mall, sir?
Officer over in Elizabeth around the mall. Complete assholes to all the people except the ones with shopping bags.
They are in the mall now.
All right. Well, I think they got the day off today. I haven't seen them today. But they just started last week, and they're really nasty, aggro, treating people like shit, motherfuckers.
IDing a lot of people, I understand. Mm-hmm. Ticketing and IDing a lot of people.
Ticketing for anything they can. Just general harassment for anything. Just blocking off of people's backpacks with not the standard "Is this your backpack?" announcement, like all the other cops do, and like they say is procedure. People have been able to walk away from their property for 3 feet, and over in Eveleth will swoop it up and throw it in their trunk without saying a damn word to anybody about it.
And that was musician Phil Free, who still faces a misdemeanor disturbing the peace charge for his song "Have a Happy Fucking Day," which you heard sort of, a little bit hard to distinguish some of the lyrics. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is Bat Robespierre's Broadside, Civil Rights for the Poor, an occasional hour-and-a-half show which comes to you whenever it can, as Free Radio is currently still looking for a home. If you have anything you want to put on the air for Bat Robespierre's Broadsides, we're particularly interested in police abuse, rights of homeless people, and anything that has to do with citizens standing up for their rights in a public arena, locally. Local issues are my particular interest. Give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Leave a message of any length, and I will put your contribution onto the air, as well as take your report. Or if you want it to be confidential, I will simply take it and get back to you, and we can proceed from there. Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM is what you're listening to. This is Bat Robespierre, Robert Norris speaking, and for the next hour and a half, join us for Bat Robespierre's Broadsides. Today is November 17th, 1996, the day I'm recording this tape. You'll be hearing it somewhat later, of course. We have had the second major rainstorm of the season for the last 24 hours, and we have the usual phenomenon of 500 to 1,500 homeless people in the city of Santa Cruz. A law, city code, that makes it illegal for people to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, and indeed punishable by up to a $162 ticket for the first offense, and up to a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail for the second offense, which can be a second sleeping instance within 48 hours. We have this situation, and we have a locked field, a locked former campground where people used to be able to sleep legally at night a year ago at this time, and instead it is walled off, locked off, fenced off, and owned by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, right next to the Homeless Community Resource Center, where you can get a meal, actually two meals a day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, have access to phones and showers and washing machines if you want to wait in the line, and actually hang out without being actively harassed, as may be the case if you hang out downtown. As you just heard, officers over and Eveleth of the Santa Cruz Police Department have acquired a very bad reputation. Now, that tape was recorded in October, that segment of Phil Free's song that you heard at the introduction, but their reputation for harassing people is, unfortunately, and if you have any reports of harassment by police, please let me know at 423-4833. Phil Free has always been a controversial musician on the mall, and his singing has provoked concern and outrage from certain merchants and certain cops. However, he has never been found guilty of any kind of obscenity or disturbing the peace or obscene lyrics or anything of that sort. We'll see what happens later this month in November if and when his case comes to trial. Previous attempts to frighten him away from singing the songs he feels are pertinent and appropriate have failed. The guardians of public morality are also going after Skidmark's Bob Duran, who has gotten two tickets recently in the last month or so for playing the guitar across from Alibaba's kiosk. Alibaba is a guy I like, interestingly enough, who has a little kiosk right near the Del Mar Theater, near the headquarters of the Happy Hosts, the green-shirted gremlins who are the shadow of the police department. They come and tell you to not sit down on the sidewalk here or there, not ask for spare change. In essence, they harass people who the merchants have decided are persona non grata. Anyway, Alibaba's kiosk is located near the host's HQ, which is right next to the Del Mar Theater, and Bob Duran has been getting flack from Alibaba for playing his guitar and singing songs in the evening. I talked to Alibaba about this briefly. I wish he had spoken for himself, and I wish he would speak for himself to the public through the medium of tape recorder or something to that effect, since we don't have a live studio right now. Unfortunately, he didn't want to do that at the time, and I'm kind of left to interpret his remarks. I don't really know why Alibaba has it in for Bob Duran. I guess he feels that his music is something he doesn't like, and that he has sort of a proprietary interest in that part of the street. He has the right to tell other people they can't play music there when he's there, although he himself does play recorded music from his boombox. I feel a little guilty about giving this interpretation without having Ali give his side of it, and hopefully I will get his side of it to you, but my initial reaction when something like this happens, and I've heard Bob Duran play, and he's a semi-professional musician. Now, I would even go one step further. He's a professional musician with the band Just Kidding. He has several albums out. He plays in the streets about subjects of social concern, about the gentrification of the downtown, the harassment of the poor. And whether Alibaba likes it or not, I'm afraid he has a right to be down there. So we'll have to watch that. The kind of tickets he's getting are sort of a tear down from the ticket that Phil Free got. Phil Free got a misdemeanor disturbing the peace ticket, whereas the ticket that Bob Duran got was a somewhat lesser, what's called an infraction in Santa Cruz law, or actually state law, punishable only by a $162 fine, but nonetheless, a drain on the resources of people who don't have money, and also a way of repressing certain kinds of behavior that the police don't want around, namely unpopular political songs. So we'll keep an eye on that, and if you're interested in more information on this case, or you'd like to support Phil or Bob, do give a call to 423-4833, and I'll put you in touch with either or both of them, or you can just simply hit the mall in the afternoon, and you'll often see them singing and playing in front of Woolworths, or near the Cathcart and Pacific's Friendship Corner, or Hippie Corner, as some call it. They're unmistakable. Phil Free and Bob Duran. Bob Duran's recently set up a Copwatch table and has been distributing Copwatch literature. Literature for citizens who want to keep an eye on the activities of the police department, particularly as regards poor people downtown, street people, young people that police seem to be targeting around this holiday and Thanksgiving shopping season. One wonders why, indeed. May become increasingly worse in the months ahead because of our new mayor, mayor who should be inaugurated at the November 26th Tuesday council session. That is Cynthia Matthews, Mayor Matthews. She's her voting record is about as bad, if not worse, than Mayor Rotkin's, and frankly, I'm much more uncomfortable with her than I am with Rotkin. Maybe that's my misogyny operating, or maybe I have a sense that Rotkin at least returns his phone calls, whereas Matthews has a reputation for never returning her phone calls, at least to people who I know who've attempted to reach her. Mayor Matthews, return your phone calls.
We have the bicycle stands here, sort of a semicircular bicycle structure, and you saw
that the average person just kind of leans up on, and I saw on two different occasions that these two kids were just like leaning up, and then one was sitting on the little bicycle racks, and they came up and they didn't even ask them to get off, they just start writing them tickets.
This officer's Eveleth and Over? A tall guy?
No, it wasn't Over this time.
Oh,
this
yeah.
time, it
oh,
wasn't
really?
Him. It was like...
What time of day did this happen?
Just like about a half hour ago.
And what's your first name?
Ringo.
So Ringo, you were here at Cathcart and Pacific, and you observed felonious leaning on the bicycle...
Yeah, I mean, whether it was wrong or not, I mean, wouldn't you think it'd be cool if they just said, hey, will you get off and not do it again, instead of make court appearances and tickets and stuff?
I mean, I would say so. No question. Any other kinds of bizarre activity by the police?
Not so far, but the night's still young.
Keep us advised.
Well, it's almost 5 o'clock, and I was wandering around the bus depot, and I ran into
Chris.
Yes, and Chris, you're outbound here. How long have you been around Santa Cruz, and why are you leaving?
About 4, maybe 5 weeks, and I've been kicked out by Mr. Santa Cruz himself, the public system.
And how were you kicked out? What was involved with that?
Due to the fact that I had illegal narcotics.
You're talking about big time heroin use here?
No heroin. Just meth.
I don't know what I mean.
Yeah, and they decided that considering I had a Texas ID, it was the time I should go back to Texas.
So what exactly did they do?
The mental board gave me a $51.50 and bought me a bus ticket to Texas.
And told me that I should
hop on the bus and leave today. So.
Or else,
I serve a felony charge. So I naturally decided to go ahead and take off.
You're taking your road back to Texas. This is the first time I've actually heard of a person getting a ticket out of Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Who in the mental board gave it? Do you know the name of the person?
Actually, I don't know the guy's name, but I know he's a really nice guy. And, in fact, like I said, he bought me a bus ticket, and I offered to buy him a hamburger or something to pay him back, but he didn't take it. So
well, you're a pretty generous guy yourself. You just gave me $4 for flyers, and you say you've given money to, stuff to Food Not Bombs, to Feed the People, to help feed the people.
Yes, I've given $20, something like 20, maybe 40 bucks to the guy that does the feeding on the hippie corner.
Right. And what's your sense of Santa Cruz? Are you glad you're going back to Texas, or would you rather stay? What's the feeling?
Well, I have a home in Texas. There's really no sense in me actually being out here and getting in trouble all the time and wind up probably spending the rest of my life in prison when I can go back to Texas and go home.
Would you regard yourself as having a drug problem or simply a drug habit, or are you a recreational drug user?
Actually, it was just a habit, and I've kicked it, so in a way, you know, to an extent, I've kicked that habit and gone on to other things. Going back to drinking beer and playing pool, more like. So.
Sounds pretty scurrilous to me, Chris.
It's a typical Texas thing. It's a typical Texas thing.
You don't have a Texas accent. What does this mean?
Well, because I'm not originally from Texas, I just live there, and I have property there, so just going there for a while. I'll probably wind up back in Santa Cruz one of these days.
Come back, look us up.
After my 3-year probation period.
You have to be gone for 3 years from town.
Yes, exactly. So,
this sounds like an unofficial eviction order. In other words, it doesn't sound like you... Hey, Matt. It doesn't like you actually got a court order, but rather they're kind of telling you off the cuff.
Exactly. Such as when the judge tells you or suggests that you may need a lawyer, he told me that I may need to leave town.
I see. Which judge was this?
Well, the first time it was an older guy with a beard, kind of clean-cut guy, and today it was a lady. I'm not sure as...
Cowell? Judge Kathleen Cowell? Judge Michael Barton? Judge Robert Attic?
Robert
Attic, okay.
He was the first one, and today I don't know who the lady
Attic
was.
Told you to leave town.
Said I should think about it, really consider it. And the mental health board bought me a bus ticket, so therefore I'm gone. Hasta la vista for 3 years.
When you come back, be sure to look us up. Anything you want to say to Free Radio Santa Cruz?
Hey, man, fucking rocks, dude.
Thank you. It's about 20 after 5, and I'm talking to Mark. Mark, you're a man who has a homeless look about him. You say when you come to a new town, you use a particular way of orienting yourself?
Right, I go to the fire department and I check with them and see what's legal and what is dangerous and what's safe, you know.
In terms of
homelessness, you know, where to stay, where to go, where not to go, you know. They let me know the police don't like homelessness here, go across the bridge. They let me know everything else is okay, you can stay here in the daytime. I mean, you can stay
where
here.
Where are you from?
But don't go to San Jose. I'm from San Jose.
And how long have you been in town?
3 months.
And you went to the fire department when you came here?
Right.
What did they tell you?
Well, they told me that there have been problems on this side of the bridge. Someone got beat to death. Someone got set on fire. And now someone got shot or stabbed. And they said there's no problem on that side, but the police on that side are a problem, so stay on this side.
So stay in the middle of the river swimming.
Right. Well, basically, it wasn't exactly that way. It was stay on this side because the police patrol this side. But, you know,
so what have you been doing at night?
So I've, well, I've been hiding out.
Hiding out. And have you been hassled by the cops?
No, I hide out from them.
Oh, what happened? Now you are.
Oh, I have been, but
I go to the, parks, Rockstar, and I go to parks and recreation areas where it's legal to be, and the police actually will come by, and they don't hassle too much. They're not like really vicious, but they will take down your name, check you out for warrants, and make you just generally hassled, and then say, excuse me, move someplace else to sleep.
Right.
Where else am I going to go?
Exactly. And how long have you been in town, Rock?
3 years.
And so how many tickets have you acquired during that time for sleeping at night?
None.
So actually, either the police have been very tolerant, or you've been very successful.
Yes, I know how to negotiate.
I see. So you're kind of a traveling man, one imagines, from campsite to campsite.
Yes, I move from place to place very quickly, and I learn about timing.
He also hides out, too. He's not.
So in the last 1,000 days, that's 3 years, how many times have you moved? Would you guess? Every 3 days, every 4 days, every one day?
Every day. Every day.
So you moved 1,000 times in the last year?
No. Actually, I only recently became homeless. And I'm just learning the ropes.
How long have you been homeless?
It's been, what, 2 months now?
So you've had 60 different journeys night after night?
Every night I move. I'm not going to get in anybody's face, and I can get in anybody's way, and I always pick up after myself, and if I have to, I will pick up after other people that have left things. I'm very diligent.
Now, what about the police on the mall? How are they treating people and the hosts?
Oh, dear, the hosts.
Yeah.
I think we have some comments about that. It depends on how you look. If you look like me, which is color coordinated, and maybe I live someplace, then I'm treated well. But if I look like this guy here, then they're probably going to attack him.
Well, have you seen this happen?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. They don't attack. Wait a minute, I shouldn't have said attack.
They just warn you, and then if you don't do what they say, you're on their bad side, and I have that happen today.
So what has happened to you regarding the hosts in the last 2 weeks?
I was just sitting in one of those green chairs at the museum, and the host came and said, the cafe doesn't like you sitting here unless you're a patron. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, these chairs are green and their chairs are black.
Right.
These aren't their chairs. And he says, well, you shouldn't sit there unless you're their patron. Well, I'm not going to argue with him. I don't have the money, and I'd eat there. I'd love to, you know, but I can't. If I could afford that, I can't even afford to go to a normal store and buy a bag of chips. You know, it's
what
not
about
a
the
point
stores?
Of saying that to them. The stores, I have no problem.
How's grocery? Like, have you been to Zanotto's and bought anything there?
I've been to the stores. The problem is not having money to go to the stores. For me, this man's different. You know, every person is different.
The stores treat me pretty well. But you have to carry an air about you as though you have money. And it's got to be a pretense of some sort.
I don't go in the store.
And if you don't have money,
I think the ones that go in stores and rip things
off,
the ones that are ruining everybody's image.
They really aren't going to like you. They're going to know instantly that you don't have money, therefore you don't belong here. Get out of my face.
What do you think of the protest movement in town? Because you heard about the 7.5-month-long City Hall sleepers vigil.
I was part of it. And actually, everybody deteriorated at one point, and I was left there all by myself to guard like these two mountains of sleeping bags and stuff, and I fell asleep of all things.
Right.
And this policeman comes up and goes, excuse me, but you're camping because you're asleep. And I went, ooh, sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. And actually, I didn't. I didn't know the laws and regulations, and nobody, there's nothing published about that sort of thing. You can't just fall asleep anyplace. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, he was rather nice to me and said, well, this is how things progress. And there I was, trapped at the vigil.
What a fate. In other words, and you left and you're leaving everything.
If I left, the policeman said, then all of that pile of stuff would be confiscated.
So you stayed.
So I stayed.
Until someone else came.
Which I found ironically amusing because I was trying to stay awake in order that other people could go to sleep.
Indeed. Now, you probably read in today's Sentinel that the vigil has ended, but actually there were people at the vigil last night, so maybe the rumors of the death of the vigil may have been exaggerated.
I don't know. I didn't see anyone there last night, and I did go by to check.
Around 8:30, there was someone there with a candle. I know that, but I don't know what time you went by.
Oh, okay. Basically, it's a very...
I saw cleaning that up. I thought maybe they ran everybody out or something. I didn't know.
It's very clean. It's a very clean area now.
Trimming the bushes and...
Yeah.
You know, gardening, and I thought maybe they moved.
There's a woman by the name of Beth Dreyer that seems to be in organization right now to clean up a whole bunch of areas. And I got ran out yesterday from one of the camp, what do you call it, parks and recreation areas up over this direction. And she brought in a team of people and cleaned out the area, not only of people, but of any materials that might have been there. And there was this mountain of materials that were there, and I do understand the problem that you can't just leave stuff hanging around. However, this scared the holy crap out of us by walking up and saying, well, I'm sorry guys, but there's going to be some trouble here. And there wasn't any trouble, it was just that they wanted to come and clean up.
Right. Well, thank you, Rod.
Yeah, thank you.
Talking to Women's Commission Vice Chair Linda LeMaster out here on the mall on, I guess it's Friday night, at 10 after 10. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Not the Women's Commission, that's a county body.
I'm
the
sorry.
Commission for Prevention of Violence Against Women.
Which is a city body.
Yes.
You are both a city and a county
body. It's a voter-mandated city.
Well, you're a body, whatever particular jurisdiction you happen to find.
And I have a body, too.
Yes, you do. We won't even go into that right now. So to speak.
Yeah, let's
but you say you and a friend were having an argument, a heated discussion.
I was having an argument.
I
was pissed off and falling apart. You know how 20-year-old women get about.
And you were doing this within 10 feet of a store window, one of the major crimes.
I was leaning against the corner of Cat and Canary, propping my heels against the little white bumper that's for cars, trying to stretch my back so that getting mad wasn't going to make me crippled.
And a host came up to you.
Yes, a young boy, younger than my middle child, and interrupted my tirade to tell me, did I not know that there was a law in this city that forbade sitting within 10 feet of a store window?
Right.
And I started to respond to him, and the person I was with responded to him by calling him a fascist. And the young man backed off a little after being called a fascist. He physically took two steps back. Well, then he walked over to the corner like he's writing me a ticket or writing notes to himself about how I was too fat to get up off the sidewalk.
Well, you're not that fat, Linda. But now, actually, your companion, however, was afraid and got up, whereas you stayed where you were?
Well, he was kind of like squatting. He was in a position that one, I remember people getting arrested for being in, but he wasn't actually sitting, which is what the law says. But I was on my butt, so it's hard not to think of that as sitting unless you're in my body.
So what was the ultimate outcome of all this? Did you get a
kind of a, no.
Warning?
No, I got up a couple minutes after the guy walked away and was writing about something, probably us. But I did not let the guy interrupt the argument I was in the middle of. I did finish what I was trying to say, and I was ready to take him on. Luckily, he walked to the corner.
Yeah, I was just talking, of course, as you know, to City Council candidate Dennis Johnston, who I was telling should consider, he's a big anti-drug candidate, very concerned about methamphetamine use and violence on the mall and in Santa Cruz, and drug use among young people.
And organized crime causing drug use among young people?
Well, he said that, but his major, his, I'm concerned that he also linked this with real specific drug prevention programs that he thinks might work in Santa Cruz, maybe some kind of open space areas and green programs, I don't know what they'd say. But also that he linked this with a statement that does not favor increased jailing and police action, that he does not favor more criminalization. He has never coupled his attacks on drugs with any of these statements, leading me to feel that he tends to be, he gets confused with the Republican mentality, and one might even say the Democrat, the Republicrat mentality on the whole issue, which is the war on drugs. And I've told him this is a bunch of crap, and he tends to agree with me. And I say, if you agree with me, then say so in public.
I would like to see Dennis coming out more with these solutions, to borrow the word you are using, with him. You know, I think that regardless of how candidate Dennis Johnston feels personally, that sentiment that there's this rampant out of control movement of drugs, mostly illegal drugs going on all over town, is something that a lot of people feel. And so it's going to need to be dealt with a lot more straightforwardly than one person can do. I mean, people say they don't want to come downtown to Santa Cruz in the daytime. They're scared, you know? And they're not talking to each other about what they're scared of. They're scared to see what they're scared of.
I see a lot of people downtown here, and it's nighttime. Yeah. It's even more scary.
Friday night.
And I'll tell you, if they're scared, they're scared. I mean, there are people who are scared of black neighborhoods, and there are people who are scared of
That's
young people on skateboards.
That's the point I'm making.
And I'm not interested in people
what
who are scared.
What I'm telling you is those are the people that have to hear a solution that's seeable, hearable, feelable, tasteable, coming from people like Dennis.
Well, there's no... Now, a solution is something else. It has to do with individual lives and programs. Their apprehension is a form of paranoia that they need a different solution for, which is interacting with real people.
As long as you talk in that particular polarity of fear, let's call it, that polarity of fear, you're reinforcing how this whole spectrum of people
I think he needs to say, if you're apprehensive, deal with your apprehensions by getting involved with real people and coming down and dealing with it. You know, not let's clean up the streets and clean up this and clean up that, because that...
And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, interviews on the street by Bathurst Pierre Robert. That's me, and you're listening to Bathurst Pierre's Broadsides. On an occasional show, we publish, or I should say, we speak on the air whenever we can. Free Radio needs your help, and if you're interested in helping out, if you've got some stuff you want to put on the air having to do with civil rights for the poor, give me a call at 423-4833. There are lots of radicals in Santa Cruz, free radicals, running around freely. One of them is a man named Bert, who has been around for decades and been fighting in homeless rights struggles for nearly as long. Here he is talking about the Community House Project. Community House, as you may know, is the 40-person, $2 million project that replaces the 300-person homeless campground at the Highway 1 and River Street Junction, which was available as a refuge from the sleeping gang for the last two or three years, but now is there no longer, and Community House itself is not being built, as I said earlier. It can't really begin because the rains have soaked the ground, and so construction can't begin until the spring anyway. And the question arises, the very obvious question, why can't that property during the winter be used as a campground by those who are willing to winterize their tents and set up planks and so forth? Certainly right next to the services at the Homeless Community Resource Center. That's how it was going to be used last year and was being used until it was forcibly evicted by Mayor Rotkin and Scott Kennedy, Daryl Darling, and Paul Marceau of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Well, let's hear activist Bert talking about Community House and what's going on with it. This conversation is about a month and a half old, but Bert is a man of the streets, whose opinion based on research.
Well, you know what's happening with Community House, aren't you? That's a perfect excuse for the doggone city to subsidize landlords again, instead of building permanently affordable housing.
Elaborate on that a bit.
What they're going to do is they're going to count community house, how many people that are in there, as affordable housing as well as transitional housing. Because they found a little loophole in the state law that allows them to do that. No. Okay? So what they're going to do is they're going to say, well, if there's 50 people in community house, there's 100 new units. 50 for affordable housing and 50 for transitional. Okay? Because the state of California allows that to happen. But what that's going to do, right, that's going to save all the people on Section 8 that are supposed to be, Section 8 is supposed to be withdrawn in the next 5 years as affordable housing is built. But no affordable housing is being built. The city just doggone let go of $6 million. That was a gift from a private foundation to rebuild a hotel into single room occupancy.
You were mentioning that last time we spoke.
Yeah.
Why don't we give us more details on that?
Well, what happened was there was a group out of Santa Clara that was part of the old Santa Clara County Consortium for Housing. They ended up with this money from this guy that died. And it was to the tune of $12 million. So they split it over an old project, which ended up being the River Street Shelter. They wanted to invest part of that back into Santa Cruz. So what happened was, is they made a proposal that would have cost the city absolutely no money to renovate the West Wing Hotel into single room occupancy. It was funny because when I went to the meeting, there were more people from the Seaside Company there than there were other people at the meeting.
And Andy, well, how are you doing?
Because from what I understand, I wasn't at the first meeting where they introduced all this, but from what I understand, they had okayed it in concept at the first meeting.
Now, when was this second meeting you went to?
That was in... That was April, second week of April.
And that was a council meeting? Where was the meeting held?
It was a redevelopment meeting, mm-hmm. which is the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they just doggone said, oh, well, we can't really support it, but we ain't going to kill it either.
Right.
Which effectively killed it because the proposal died on the vine, you know? So what they're doing now with community house is just playing the damn game with it.
Now
they had to spend the $600,000 before the end of the year. The city council had to, or it would have reverted back to the government. Okay. Now community house, you know, has been on hold. There's been five different doggone proposals made. There's been five different grants made, and all of them were sat on.
I know that at least two...
Five of them.
I know about the one by Paige Smith to build the actual structure. And then
Dan Darling, Ron Howard, both made two grants for community house. They were so screwed up that the math didn't even add up.
I remember that.
Okay?
Yeah.
On all four proposals. Now I'm talking back to 1990. This has been happening. And now they've got a guy that sits out there for four hours a day and makes $700 a week as project manager.
Nice if you can get it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we're having a Huff meeting, Bert. Do you want to join our meeting?
That's what we're up to here. I'll show you the agenda.
You're telling me that the host program or hospitality, when it first was proposed in 1994 by Catherine Byers, I might add, included a deal in order to avoid giving the city liability that the hosts be unarmed?
That's right. And that was the only reason why it passed at the time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You would have thought that they would be eager to pass another little pair of police force running around at cheaper rates.
We got two tickets here, dated October 10th for Stephen Scheel, S-H-I-E-L-L, and Raymond Moss, M-O-S-S, for 6.36. Case number Ranger, it says, whatever that means. It looks like about 11:10 at night, which is 5 or 10 minutes after the camping ban comes into effect. Poganip, Sycamore Grove. To talk to these guys about this. Which guys are these?
Right here.
So, Stephen, is it?
I'm Stephen.
So, Stephen, what happened? Describe for me this ticket situation.
Well, they came in 11:20 and told us we were illegally camped, and once they settled down and knew the dogs, we had another one besides this one. We weren't going to bite them. They offered to mace them first.
How many were there?
Two.
And have they received a complaint, did they say?
They didn't say.
No. You think they did? That's your knowledge?
Well, that night, somebody was in there cutting firewood or breaking it. We could hear them, and they might have been wandering through there. But,
how long have you been camped there?
About 2 weeks.
And how messy was your campsite?
With the dog there, it got kind of, not bad, but it was a little bit messy.
It was actually very clean.
In his opinion, mine have gotten messy.
So, compared to most camps, it's very clean. I mean, I've seen a lot of camps around here that have stuff laying all over.
Raymond?
The place. Yes.
Yeah.
Raymond. My name's Raymond. And
I'm Robert Davis.
But, you know, I mean, there's a couple of little things laying around, you know, tissue, stuff like that. They should get a hold of my socks.
Did they say anything to you other than the fact that you're illegal? Did they warn you before telling you to leave?
Yeah, and they actually were kind of nice to us because they said we can't allow you to stay here, but and after I mentioned that we can't clean up till daylight very well, they said they can't tell us we could stay here, but they're not coming back till the next day or something.
But they gave you tickets anyway.
Right. Yeah, so they said that they could give us one for the fire pit we had, and there were two beer cans sitting there.
Well, how generous.
Yes.
I feel so moved.
They were very nice about it.
Yeah, but they didn't give you a warning and say, move on, we'll be back.
That's what I'm used to, you know, even 2 to 3 warnings in most places, and then they know it means we do.
So you camped elsewhere?
Oh, yes.
For example?
Concord is where I came from last. Well, we spent a couple of weeks in Menlo Park, we rode our bikes here. You know.
And what happened in those places?
Nothing.
Well, Concord ran into a problem.
Yeah, they started
Concord
this year. They started.
I've been in Concord for about 3.5-4 years. And I never was bothered. I always sleep in the picnic tables, on top of the picnic tables, and never got bothered. And then all of a sudden they came in, and the cops told me where I could move to and stuff like that.
They did tell you where you could go.
Yeah. Cops told me where I could go and everything. But then after that, they just started harassing us for laying down on the park with our blankets. You know, just laying down in the park. If you were laying down in the park and you were at a meeting or something, they'd give you a ticket.
At night or during the day?
During the day. 8 o'clock in the afternoon, 8 o'clock in the morning, I got a ticket for sleeping in the park and I was waiting for breakfast. It was served every morning in that park.
Who was serving breakfast?
Who was that? That was
one of the local churches.
One of the local churches, yeah.
And have they tried to crack down on the meals there as well? Is the meal still going?
Yes, they've moved to different places. One of them is the one that was being served there had stopped. They did put a stop to it, but they moved to a different place.
And when was this? By what time?
This is what about Concord.
In Concord? It started, it's been about 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm. When it started, yeah. They finally moved probably about 4 months ago, huh? That was when they first moved? About 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah. The cops got an attitude towards the homeless, basically. If you looked homeless, they ID'd you constantly. Even once they knew me, you know, they'd come up and ID me. And I don't know, it was just basically coming from higher up, I took it, you know, because one guy was real nice and one was playing the asshole, but even once they knew who you were and what you were about, they still had to come in and harass you, you know, politely.
And you got tickets there?
Yeah.
And do you have warrants outstanding?
I do.
I do too. Sleeping in the park and stuff like that, you know.
Mine says homesteading, but I it was 8:30 in the morning. I laid down. The wind was cold, so I laid down on the bench to get out of the wind a little bit. I was watching the dog play in the back of the park, in his backyards, face the park. You know. Because he came up around, I had a baseball cap on, and he before he even saw if my eyes were open or not, he accused me of being asleep. It kind of upset me.
You know about the march today, the homeless march? Have you seen the flyer?
Uh-huh.
I'll show it. Anything more you want to say about this case? About this? You know about how to deal with these tickets? I can tell you about them if you're interested.
We need to. Yeah, we will.
Okay. Have you gotten any other tickets or harassment from cops down here anywhere?
Just panhandling ones. Yeah, Safeway. They asked us to leave very nicely. The one officer was very nice. Yeah.
Security guard or a policeman?
Police.
Okay. Told us if we wanted to, we could get signs and fly signs, but we couldn't out in the parking lot, you know. But we couldn't be in the, inside the by the store or anything, which is cool. I understand that.
Yeah, it's just the camping situation. Like, I've been homeless off and on, and more on than off for 10 years, and it's been getting a lot worse.
We travel a lot. Where we go, from city to city and state to state.
And I got the vegetable. He had his half his body out of the hole.
Oh yeah, the.
The gopher at the Huff meeting. This is a meeting of Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Julia Pucci is
Mariah.
Now, how old is this Mariah dog?
She's 5 and a half, 6 months.
And you're kind of looking for a kind of a dog cart for her so you can ride her around, huh?
Yeah, because I can't take her on to the end of the mall or anything unless she's enclosed in a she's safe, so she can't get out and, I guess, piss her shit on the ground, you know. Like dogs do, but I mean, you know, as owners, we gotta have the responsibility to clean up. I can understand that.
Either that or purchase a $100 suit and no one will buy it.
Yeah.
Maybe a $500 suit. I'm not sure, you know, prices are right.
I mean, I've seen all kinds of people walking the dogs up there, and, you know, the host don't say anything if it's a poodle. You know, any nice lady walking, old lady walking, they don't say nothing to her. But if I go out there with my dog, you know, they harass me.
Well, you could wear a wig and good clothing.
Yeah, and put a
poodle disguise on
there
this guy.
There you go.